You got it? Here? No, not yet. Hey, here, up front. Here we have. Yes? I have one. Okay, I hope everybody has one. Okay, so I made you those for you. We have the logo of the church in at the back. Can you see the right? There's the logo of the church. And yes, it's hard to see it, but it's hard. We need to use some glasses to see those. And the time of the service too. At the bottom, yes, at the bottom. There's the church logo and the service. Yeah, yes. And also, this is the title of the message that I'm going to give. So I made you those so you can remember the message. You can remember that it's important to look to the Lord and not to the storm. Amen? And second, probably you can, if somebody is having a hard time, you can give one of those to them, right? Third, you can probably write some notes at the back of the sermon, some the outline, or you can invite somebody to the church, right? And just encourage them to have their eyes upon Jesus, amen? So let's just have a word of prayer, and we will start, amen? Father, we give you all the glory, all the praise this morning. Thank you for your word. And we open our hearts, and I just pray for your anointing, your help, while I share your heart, your thoughts, and your word. And all the glory is going to be for you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay, are you ready? So the title of my message, as you have seen, according to that little picture that I gave you, is looking at the storm or at the one who calms the storm. And it is important to look to the Lord in times of need, in times of a struggle. And I remember when I came to this country, my daughter told me, "Hey, Daddy, I think you have a house." And we were in Guatemala because my mother-in-law passed away. So when we came, we were like 10 days in Florida, and we have to come back. And we spent 1 month in Guatemala. And one day my daughter told me, "Daddy, I think I have a house for you to rent." And I said, "Okay, why don't you wait that I go?" "No, you have to rent it. You're going to like it. And the neighborhood is close to our house. And it's just, 5 minutes walking from our house." So they pushed me a little bit. So finally we said yes. So we came. Praise God, we had a house when we came, right? And we came. And we have to change our money. The economy of the USA, it's in another level. Right? So when you change your money in Guatemala, when you change your money from Guatemalan money, you have 7 times less. So you feel you have money there, like you feel like, "Yeah, I can handle for 3, 4 months or 5 months." When you come here, you can handle it. Because it's 7 times less. You have to buy a car, you have to pay the rent, the deposit, you have to buy things for your house. It's a start. So suddenly, we went to the house. My wife was a little bit crying because too much change, right, for her. And the house was empty, right? And later, we bought a TV. And we sit it at the floor. I have a picture of my wife sitting at the floor with me, and just watching the TV, and she was her heart was very grateful to the Lord. And we were on the floor. And after we had a house in Guatemala, right now we're on the floor. but now we have to pay our bills and we don't have a job. So the first day, my daughter told me, hey, there's an agency here that you can go and find a job. So I went and she told me, I signed, it was 1 hour filling some papers, my social security number and everything. And okay, you're set up. And okay, you call me when you. And she told, oh, by the way, there's a job for tomorrow. What do I have to do? Oh, you just, there's in the house. It's just, you just go and help. Okay. I want to work. I want to pay my bills, right? So I show up at the house like 30 minutes before. And I was there waiting. And the guy told me, okay, do you see all these rocks and all these? Okay, you have to lift it up, put it in a place, take it over there. And I said, okay, it's okay. So I was working from 8 to 11:30. And finally, I said, I'm going to rest a little bit. And it was in the sun, my first time in the Florida sun. It was September. I needed more water, and I didn't know. This is my first time that I'm lifting rocks. And suddenly I said, I'm going to rest for 30 minutes. My break, right? They have a break here in the United States. 30 minutes break, hallelujah. So I went to rest. So when I wake up, I began to have some cramps, as you call it. Cramps, like in my fingers of my feet. And I wake up and I was like, ooh. And the owner of the house came and told me, how are you doing? Are you Roger? Yes. How are you doing? Everything is good. And suddenly I had another cramp here. Okay, everything is good. Yes. It was my first job in the USA. So my son-in-law told me, say, hey, I know you don't have a job right now. You're applying for other jobs. Why don't you do DoorDash? I say, okay, I'm going to do DoorDash. So I applied for DoorDash. They told me, okay, you're all set up. I began to drive. Oh, I was nervous the first time. And I do it even at nights. And sometimes there are some houses that they don't have the number very well. Where is the number? Where is the number here? I got nervous. But I learned something that is very important when you drive, is you have to put your eyes at the front. Am I right? But you know what DoorDash, what they do sometimes. So after you put the food in the door and you leave, and you begin to drive again, they give you an order, and I'm driving, and I have to say yes or no. I have to push my cell phone, and they're saying, pizza, you have to take it to somewhere. We're going to pay you $5, $8. You have to say, you have to see the distance, because it's if too far, and they give you $8, nothing, right? But they do it while I am driving. So it was crazy. And sometimes I was trying to figure out. I bought something to put my phone over there, you know. But it was crazy. And sometimes I have to say no, yes. And I saw the importance, because when I was trying to read, my car stopped. And the people from there, beep, beep. So I say, okay, I have to see where's a gas station. I have to see where's a little supermarket here where I can, you know. But I saw the importance of having your eyes in front. Look at front. So this is what happened to Peter. He started with his eyes upon Jesus. But later in the way, he turned his eyes from Jesus. And he saw the storm. Has this happened to us? That we see more the storm, we don't see the one who calms the storm. So we're going to read some verses of the Bible. There are some verses of the Bible. Can we read all of us together? And he, amen. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. There's another verse. And they that were in the boat worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen? Amen. Okay, beautiful verses of the Bible. First is the call. Jesus invites Peter, saying, come. Peter experienced a moment of bold faith and stepping out of the comfort of the boat to walk toward Jesus. The Lord is saying to us, come. Come. But sometimes following Jesus might not be comfortable. I received Jesus when I was 8 years old. I remember my aunt. They spoke to me about Jesus Christ. And I received the Lord. They made a prayer of salvation. They talked to me about being born again. 8 years old, I understood the prayer to be born again and gave my heart to the Lord. So after they took me to church, I was 8, probably 9, and we used to go every year with my mom. I don't know if you call it processions, like where they take idols and they are holding idols like this. So my mom took me every year to hold one idol. His name was Saint Martin. He was a saint. So every year, every October, I was holding. They put me some clothes, and I went with my mom, and we saw that Saint Martin. He was a dark guy, kind of like a Afro-American. It was dark, kind of like me. I felt the same. Saint Martin was like holding there, and for 5 minutes I was holding Saint Martin every October. I didn't know what I was doing, but my mom took me to be with Saint Martin. But this year when it came, remember I received Jesus Christ last year. I was 9. And I said to my mom, Mom, I don't want to hold St. Martin. I don't want to go over there. And my mom looked at me. She didn't like it. I could see her face. She was not happy. But I understood, even that I was 9 years old, I understood that God alone is the only that we need to worship. Amen. And so sometimes when Jesus said, come to me, it's not going to be everything smooth, comfortable. Sometimes following Jesus, you will have that tension from your family, from your friends. Sometimes following Jesus happens in the midst of the fierce winds. Fierce winds. Today, more than ever, we have seen how divided we are as a country. Some people can even use a t-shirt that says, Jesus is my Lord, and some people will feel offended. It's a different time. We have never seen this before. Right now, it's a different time. If you speak about God, some people feel offended. It's a different time. So we can follow Jesus sometimes when our waves when there are winds, sometimes require stepping out of your own boat. This is what Peter had to do. He was in his boat, and Jesus told him, come, come. He had to say, I'm going to leave this. I'm going to leave for a time these people, and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. So when they give you a simple message of following Jesus, it's not the truth. Sometimes we have tensions. Sometimes we have to say no to the idols, no to the new age, no to the ways of the world. And we will feel that tension, but the Lord is with us. It's better to be in Jesus' boat and be part of his team. Can I hear an amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Can you hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that was better. Hallelujah. So, when God calls you to do something outside of your comfort zone, you must step out of your own boat. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the distraction of the storm. The moment Peter took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the first wind of the waves, fear gripped him. I remember when I went to my first church, it was very close to my neighborhood, and I went. It was a lot of youth, and I went to the church, and the pastor, he saw that probably I had a call in my life. I had a call from God, and I was 16 years old, and the pastor called me and called another guy, and he spoke to us, and he said, there's a new neighborhood here. There are probably 500 new houses. And I want you to go to preach to that new neighborhood. I was 16 years old. And I went with other friend that he had a fire for God. We knocked the doors. Say, good morning or good afternoon. And say, we bring you the good news of Jesus Christ. Boom! You know? And other people, they open their doors and they say, oh, yes, pray for me. I need prayer. But, you know, we got that both. But you know what happened after probably 4 months that my pastor told me that? My pastor was removed from office from being a pastor because of immorality. And I was young and I didn't know what happened. But this is the time when things happen like that. It's the time to put our eyes in Jesus. He's the one who died for us. He's the one who gave his life for us. Not the man, not the pastor, amen? Not the famous preacher, not the church. Sometimes it's very hard for us to separate Christianity from Christ. And Christianity is full of people that make mistakes. Even in history, we have made mistakes. And who hasn't made mistakes? Everybody. Even those people that they point, like, you are like this, you conservatives, or you Christians are like this. They have made mistakes too. We all have made mistakes. We all need the grace of the Lord, Jesus Christ. So it's very important when somebody fails you, it's very important to put your eyes upon the Lord. Look at Jesus. Don't look at the distractions that you have. We all begin to sink when we focus more on our problems, circumstances, or life's storms than on the Savior. We need to put our eyes on the Savior. Now, Peter, he cried. Peter said, Jesus, Lord, save me. Because when he was walking, my question is, do you think that was a storm even when Jesus Christ called him? Do you think it was the winds and the waves? Yeah. It was there. But he was putting his eyes upon Jesus. So he began to walk. In the moment that he went like my DoorDash, that I was like, my car, beep, 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 beep. all the problems in the moment that he saw the storm. He began to go down. And this is what happens in our lives. But he cried. He said, Lord, save me. He came a rescue. The Bible says that immediately Jesus reached out to his hand and caught him. You are never out of God's reach. When you stumble or feel overwhelmed, you can always cry out to him. Because the Lord told them, men of little faith. But even with that simple prayer, he said, help me, save me. That little faith, the Lord could do something for Peter. Sometimes we feel like that. When we see our finances, when we see that we're not in a good health, when we see our family, when we see our children, that they are not walking with the Lord, when we see our circumstances, sometimes discourage us. We feel that the boat is going like this, our life is going like this, but we need to put our eyes in Jesus. We need to cry out, Jesus, Jesus, and he will help us. When Jesus entered the boat, the wind stops, demonstrating his absolute control. The disciples worship Jesus, explicitly saying, starting, truly, you are the Son of God. Now we see here, the first time here, one of the first time we see in the Bible that they worship the Son of God. We see in the book of Revelation, who is worthy to receive all riches, all honor, all power, the Lamb of God. Amen? So we see this in the Bible. Even the mystery, when we read Genesis chapter 1, it said, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Elohim is a plural. It's not gods. It's more the idea of deity. That's the idea of the deity. The deity. Well, in the beginning, Elohim, the deity, created heavens and the earth. In that deity was the Son of God. They worship him. Thou, you are truly the Son of God. So, now we have a call to action. The Lord is calling us right now. Get out of your boat and follow me. You will have challenges. You will have probably persecution. You will have people that they don't like you. But you will have other also people that they like you. Amen. You will have a new family in Christ. But there's a time right now that we're living that we need to call, we need to follow Jesus as never before. And we need to put our eyes upon Jesus. I know you pray for our president and you respect our president, but our eyes are not in our president. Our eyes are upon Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, sometimes what happened in the past, many churches, they became too much politicized. And instead of preaching the word of God, they talk more about politics in their pulpit. It's because we miss the point. Here is to preach the word of God. Here is to exalt Jesus Christ. He died for us. He gave his life for us. Amen. So the time you just put, we respect people who does good job. We respect the office, but our eyes are upon Jesus. We respect the minister, but our eyes are upon Jesus Christ. We love the church of Jesus Christ, but our eyes are upon Jesus Christ. When I read the history of the church, it's not easy. When you read the history of the church. It's not easy to see all the mistakes we made as humans. It's like the Lord, when I read the history of the church, the Lord was doing kind of like a surgery in my heart to see, oh, look what we did in the past. Oh, look, we did good here, but we did bad this time. But you know what? This is when the Lord is teaching you, put my eyes in me. Don't look to the other side. Look upon Jesus Christ. Where's your focus today? Are you looking at the storm or at Jesus? Keep your eyes on him and remember that his grace is always ready to lift you up. People can talk bad about Peter, that he failed, that he thought that he was bold, and he said, I'm coming to you. And some people will laugh with this kind of personality. But you know what? Peter tried. And there are some people that they don't try. If you have tried something, if you have tried to walk with the Lord, and you have failed, you have tried. His mercy is there. His blood is there to cleanse you, to lift you up again. Amen? If you have tried to establish a business, an entrepreneur, you fail, but you have tried. There are people that they have ideas, but they haven't tried never in their lives. You are the one who tried. Probably you tried to be married and you fail, but you have tried. There are some people that they never give that step in their life. So when we are falling, when we are over there on the floor, the Lord is saying, I will lift you up. I will lift you up. His grace is always ready to lift you up. Can you say an amen? Why don't we pray this morning and we receive this word of the Lord and just believe that Jesus Christ is there for us. Amen? Let's just have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we rest in you. We rest upon your mercy, your love. Thank you that in our failures, in our mistakes, in our sin, you are there with your hand, ready to lift us up. And Father, any person that right now are looking at the storm, right now we turn our eyes upon Jesus. And right now, this morning, we don't see the storm, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus. He's the one who's going to save us. He's the one who's going to lift us up. He's the one who died for us and rose again. Jesus Christ. Let's just put your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If somebody needs prayer, this is the moment. Just lift your hand and let us pray for you. If someone needs prayer, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We can pray for you. Just lift your hand and we will pray for you. You don't have to tell us everything that you are struggling. The Lord knows your storm. The Lord knows what you are struggling. Just lift your hands and we'll pray for you. Thank you, Lord. If somebody wants to pray too, this is the moment. So you can lift your voice and pray.